Blog Talk Radio.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Ian Coyle. Tony, the Justice League is hitting the theaters this week, and miraculously, PTI is back. Should we break it to them that we are actually Batman and Superman?
We're probably a lot closer to the Flash and Cyborg. Disappear and come back from the dead. But that's neither here nor there. Welcome to PTI Boys and Girls. I'm Anthony Fernandez. And GZL's back. I don't know about you, Ian, but I'm excited to get to talk football with you for 30 minutes. So let's get started. Tonight we begin our head on to Wisconsin, where there are some big shoes to fill. Legendary Matt GM Kevin Mullendore won Super Bowl 13, rode off into the sunset as a champion. We'll focus with the elephant in the room to start off. You, Mr. Coyle, are the new Packers GM. Do you feel anxious following those footsteps, and how do you think your defending Super Bowl champions will do this year?
Well, you know, it was a hard choice to leave my Falcons. Ultimately, it came down to just the morale issue with this mad engine. But I don't know. I think that there is quite a big void to fill with Kevin leaving the team. But you know, he didn't have a lot of people leaving in terms of the roster. So I think it was left in a pretty good spot. Some big injuries in week one on the defensive side of the ball make things a little difficult, but I think I'm pretty comfortable with where the team's at right now.
Sounds about right. Looking over the roster, I mean, there's really not much, like, you're stacked at just about every position. You can probably tell me better than I can say, but it looks like the biggest addition was Covey Williams this offseason.
I traded for Covey because all that he had really had fear for running backs is going to be Nile Davis, and well, you know, he has some value there. I was able to work a deal to bring in Williams there, and I think that's going to pay dividends. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of work to do this offseason. Lost some of the older wide receivers, but we were able to bring in Mark Perez and pretty happy.
I like it. I think as long as Glenn stays healthy, you know, Madden, you always got to have two quarterbacks, but team looks good and they're in good hands. I mean, you're a proven GM. I think that Mullendore, Kevin, is fantastic. He's probably somebody that will be felt more as a loss to the league, not being here as the GM, more so than the team. I think you're capable of putting them in the right direction. We'll be excited.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we move now to New Orleans, where the Saints are defending the NFC South champions. After 7 years of Buccaneer dominance, the Saints finally ended your tyranny. Was this a one-time deal, or are they real-deal contenders?
I don't want to take anything from the Saints team. They've been run by a lot of GMs in the past. But it was quite a run. I mean, even the 7 years we won in a row, it was 9 out of 10 last year. So it was a good run, but it was certainly not a fluke. And, I mean, to drive that point home, they didn't just win the division. I think they eliminated me from the playoffs too. So, and then to top that off, they get a fantastic GM, Mr. Spencer, somebody I look up to a lot. So I think that they're in good hands. They got off to a rough start, not starting their quarterback, which will hurt anybody, but I think that they're going to bounce back. They have a game coming up this week in Carolina. They'll get a chance to get that division win, and then after that they have 3 straight home games. Look tough on paper, Chiefs, Bears, Vikings, but I certainly think that they could put a run together and defend their championship. What do you think?
Yeah, it's rough to not get a play your quarterback, that's for sure. They did lose a couple people for injury there, but tough start to the season with Chiefs coming in after that monster game that we'll talk about here in a little bit. Being the former Falcons GM, I think that team was in a pretty good spot. It's just a matter that I couldn't sign people because of the morale issue, but having the GM switch definitely
fix to that for the GM, the incoming GM, to be able to re-sign his roster. And so I'm not surprised to see them win that. I think that they have a pretty strong roster. You guys have a pretty good strong roster there. So I don't think it's going to be an easy road for them by any stretch of the imagination, but I could see them fighting for a wild card in the South there.
Next up, 72. That is a big number. In a seemingly unprecedented event, the Chiefs hung 72 points on the Steelers last week. That very well could be the most points I've ever seen scored. The game even included a 38-point quarter. What do you make of this, Ian?
You know, I think everybody that saw it had to go and check the settings to make sure that it was run on All-Pro. Of course it was. I think the even more surprising part of that is that it was 72 points and only a single defensive and special team touchdown. Usually when you see these kind of scores, it has to do with, you know, fumbles or, you know, pick sixes from the 20-yard line, or, you know, a couple lucky kick returns. You very rarely get, you know, the eight offensive touchdown days, which is just incredible. I also find it surprising, five touchdowns for Russell Wilson on only 234 yards. There were no, you know, other than the 59-yard run for Gurley, there was no, you know, 70, 80-yard bomb, you know, during the last 2 minutes like you always see. So, pretty incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I echo all of that. The 34 yards being the longest pass was something that stood out to me, and the no defensive touchdowns is crazy. But six turnovers will do you in, especially if you're turning it over on the wrong side of the field. And, you know, it's painful to see Todd Gurley and the former Buccaneer that I sold, I thought high on. But 245 touchdowns, yeah, that's basically the story of my GZL career. I mean,
yeah, it does seem like they really turned it over on the short side of the field quite a bit, which would be probably a good indication of why there wasn't any, you know, 40-plus yard pass touchdown.
Yeah. It's just crazy with 72 points. I've never seen that before. And, I mean, for reference sake, they had 380 points, I think, last year combined. Yeah, 380
right.
points scored all last year. 72 this year. I don't know. It's crazy.
All okay, right, next is toss-up.
Yep, go
for
it. Toss-up will be a regular segment on PCI. For this game, we are asked to pick from two different choices in the debater selection. We're tossing up week two picks. First up, North quarterback controversy. Ian, the Vikings scored 20 points in the fourth quarter at home last week to try and avoid starting the season 0-1, but it wasn't enough. Josh Freeman had a lot of touchdowns and a lot of yards, but Carson Wentz saw some playing time and completed nearly 60% of his passes. This week, the Vikes traveled to Philly to play the 0-1 Eagles. The loser of this game is in trouble. If the Vikings lose this game, do you think that pulling the plug on Josh Freeman already is an option? Who finishes the season as a starter, Freeman or Wentz?
I'm going to say yes. And my reason for that is, you know, I think in a normal year, you probably would see Freeman sticking in as a starter simply for the higher awareness and potential for better record, which is going to generate more progression down the road. But with us kind of being on the last 2 years here, I don't think people are going to really worry too much about building the progression, and they're just going to follow the hot hand. So I think it just depends on who ends up performing better in whatever game plan they decide to use for the week. Both of them are pretty quality quarterbacks, with Wentz having a little bit stronger arm at this point as Freeman ages. But I think we're going to see a lot of this year just following the hot hand. Because, you know, there's no big incentive to build on the future at this point.
A very good point, one that I really hadn't considered in the context of this question. But, yeah, just looking at Freeman, like, I'm obviously a little biased, but, I mean, the easy pick would be Wentz, because Freeman hasn't really finished a season as a starter since 2019. And so I could see them going, but you're right. There's really not that incentive to build somebody if he's not the best guy. And Freeman by no means played bad. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns, 1 pick, and the 1 quarterback rating. He's had that low completion percentage the whole career, something that I struggled with in Tampa. But I think the real story this game is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles, who they were pretty good against the Giants, and they had Deontay Foreman, I'm sorry, had a real big game. The rookie running back, talk about building someone up. I mean, no incentive to play him, but he's starting and looking good. So I think the Eagles could really catch the Vikings off guard, and then we'll see what Breck does. I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to your point before, having 2 quality quarterbacks is never a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
While we're talking about the NFC North, we got the Bears here. Last week, two biggest upsets were probably Falcons beating the NFC South champ Saints, and the Bears rallying to beat the Bucks. This week, Atlanta goes to Chicago, and one of those teams will be 2-0. Toss up. Which underdog do you see pulling this out, the Falcons or the Bears?
Well, I will agree with a lot of what you said earlier about the Falcons being a really good team. I think you did out there in your time in Atlanta. So I have a hard time calling them an underdog. I think that you had them right on the cusp of becoming the team that they could be. But I will say that the Bears are really good. And last week we had a lead on them. They never felt like they were out of it. They just kept fighting back. And you really saw the poise with the veteran quarterback. And I think the Bears are going to be good in Chicago. So I'm going to say the Bears. The Bears are going to pull this out. What about you?
Yeah, the Bears have a pretty good balanced offense, I think. I think where you're going to have the difference in this game is going to be on the defensive side of things. There's a couple former Bucks all over the place in here, Morris Claiborne and some of those guys on the defensive side for the Bears. Falcons, I think, get a little bit of a boost by having some better secondary players like Rollo Salisbury. Definitely disrupts things. If they get him on Michael Williams, I think that's going to be a pretty good matchup at keeping him from getting some of those jump balls. So I'm going to play the homer pick as the former GM, and I'm going to say the Falcons win this one.
Ooh, split decision. I like it. All right, the last toss-up. Munch on this. The 2019 draft will be remembered as the gigantic wide receiver draft class, although they're kind of all like that since. With Devin Funchess and DGB going 1.1 and 1.3, both wide receivers were tremendously underwhelming their first 3 seasons before seemingly having breakout years last year. Each got off to a hot start last week, combining for 2 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards. Toss-up, who would you rather have on your roster, Funchess or DGB?
You know, for me, it's going to go DGB. I know you drafted him, so many of your same reasons behind are probably going to be there. I personally like to see above 90 stats in all speed, agility, and acceleration in a wide receiver. I think agility plays a big role in beating press coverage. And for your bigger, faster receivers, that seems to be where you get a little bit of separation off the line. You chose to develop him more in his hands versus awareness, and I don't know how much awareness really comes into play for wide receivers versus hands, but that seems to be the major difference among other than, the 2 points of agility that Funchess lacks. But oddly enough, I must not have had a first-round pick this year because I don't recall even these guys going that high, so I must not have paid attention to the first round that year.
I think I have.
Given that one of these guys is yours, I think I know your option.
But yeah, I'm definitely going DGB on this one. I think I traded down. I think I had 1.1 that year, or maybe 1.2, and I ended up trading to 1.3. But I remember having the option to get either of them and wanting DGB the whole time. And that's not because he was better on paper at the start. I think that, Funchess being drafted first is totally defensible. But I drafted DGB for the potential, and I put a little bit more work in him than the Jags had put in Funchess. So even though Funchess has got the 31 touchdowns so far versus like 24, 24 for DGB. I think in the long run, I think DGB will have a better career, and he'll just be a little bit more explosive. But both of them are certainly worthwhile picks, even if they are super expensive going that high in the draft.
Yeah. So over-under will be a regular segment on PTI that alternates with what, but what's the word. For this game, we argue whether GMs, players, or teams will go over or under a certain number. Tonight, we focus on wins. The Bucks life. We've had 13 GZL seasons. The Bucks have made the playoffs, all 13. You've never had a single-digit win total in any season. With two seasons left, will Tampa Bay have over or under 14 playoff appearances?
Wow. Man, I really feel guilty now reading this through and seeing how much we're talking about the books. But we've been out of the game for a while here, so I try to focus on the things I know what to talk about, so that's why this one's a little Bucks heavy. We'll work more league content and moving forward. But just to make it quick on the Bucks, I'm going to go push. I don't think – I mean, to say over would be both of the last 2 years. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that any team's going to go to the plus 15 out of 15 times. I think maybe we get in one more time. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm going to go push. What about you?
I think you make it. Historically, you know, the Saints are the only team that have more than 10 wins against you in the division. And, you know, you've got 19 and 21 wins against Panthers and Falcons each. And that tends to mean at least getting a divisional appearance. So they're getting into the wild card round. And I can see that happening in at least one of the next 2 years. So I think it gets to the 14 for sure.
I certainly hope you are. All right.
And it's the Bucks. I love the Bucks.
Oh, there you go.
Now that I'm not in the division, I can root for it.
Oh, man. Just win, baby. The Raiders struggled last year, finishing 8-8, their first non-winning season since 2012, which is a lot further away than it seems. They even missed the playoffs. Do you got the Raiders going over or under 8 wins in 2023?
You know, I think the Raiders get over that hump. I think Garth last year, you know, taking over for a lot of what Kevin had done toward the end of the year, took a lot of his time and attention away from his team. I think now that we have some additional support at the top of the food chain in terms of commissioner team, I think that'll allow Garth to take some time to give some TLC to his team again, and I think he'll right the ship. We'll see if the Chiefs are for real with that 72-point outburst, but I think there's definitely some winnable games on the schedule this year.
I agree, and as somebody who like has carried the load before, I can tell you that when you're doing everything, it's a lot easier on you when you're winning versus when you're not. So I'm sure last year was real tough. But yeah, you made some real good points about the division. I mean, the Chiefs, who knows? I mean, that could have been a fluke. Chargers, historically one of the better teams in the league, so they looked good last week. And then, obviously, his brother in Denver, a couple years removed from beating me in the Super Bowl. So, tough division. That's probably the toughest thing going against them. We talked about the incentive to playing a young guy. They are playing a young guy at quarterback in Mitch Trubisky, second-year quarterback. So, we will see. I think that I can't go under with Garth. Even in a tough division, I think that they're going to get that 9 wins, and I just have full confidence in that.
Harry and the Hendersons. 2nd-round pick Mason Henderson did it big for the Titans in week 1, racking up 3 sacks. With 15 more games to go, do you have Henderson going over or under 15 sacks?
Ooh, that's tough. I didn't even realize he had the 3 sacks. I mean, he's really looking at, like, player stats in week 1. But I got a text message from Brady, the GM of the Bengals, and he was pointed out. And, I mean, he's a good player. It's kind of crazy that with 88 acceleration, 85 speed, that he went as late as he did, the 10th pick in the 2nd round. And he's off to a great start. But you're talking, like, historically, the 15 would put him tied with Shaq Lawson. So you're saying over, he's going to have the most sacks for a rookie ever. Shaq had a couple, two sack games. And they had that 1-4 sack game that really propelled him. So he's got a 3 in his pocket now for Mason, and he's going to need to do a couple more multi-sack games. I'm going to say he's going to get close, but I'm going to say he's going to go just under. What do you think?
I think he's going to go under also. I think the biggest thing for, you know, sacks are hard to predict. Even someone who seems like they should be a sack machine sometimes can just not. And in Atlanta, I had the same thing with Robert Quinn. You know, some years he'd be on, some years he'd be off. I think it's so dependent both on your defensive playbooks and also on who your opponents decide to play in that right tackle spot, and also the quarterbacks. You know, that you're going against, a running quarterback, you're going against someone that's low awareness. There's just so much that goes into it that you can't really predict very well. I mean, I could definitely see him getting to 15, but I think he's going to be under.
Yeah, that's a great. And the quarterbacks in the division, he's got Bridgewater, who takes
They're all upper 90s overall, but, you know, Bridgewater does take quite a few sacks, but the others aren't nearly as bad.
Yeah, if he's healthy, it's going to be tough. But, I mean, yeah. And then who knows if Bridgewater's going to play the whole season. So it's going to be interesting to watch that.
Yep.
All right, what's mail time? Mail time is an occasional segment on PTI. For this game, we answer fan mail from various GMs around the league. Tonight, we focus on all the pressing issues, like 8 Mile, Tom in Detroit, right? What are your thoughts on GZL wrapping up?
Well, my thoughts are, I think that it's a good time to make this move. I think, obviously, watching the activity in the forums, there's a lot of excitement around the league for it. There are definitely some improvements I think that we can make across the board that are being discussed that I think will inject some new enthusiasm for this league. It's one of the slower moving leagues out there. We do one game per week, per real world week, which allows for, I think in some ways it detracts from some activity because, you know, for those GMs that just hop on and set their game up and line up, you know, they don't have, you know, they don't come back until the next week or when game day. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to increase their participation. And, you know, if we can hit on some of these hot button topics that people are excited about changing, I think we'll have a good product to put out.
Perfectly said. I mean, I don't think I can do much better than that. I agree with all of that. I will say that for me, as somebody who, you know, came up with Ricky and Kevin, the idea of this other league when we were in RZL, it means a lot to me to see it through. And I can say, like, knowing there's an endpoint doesn't deter me. If anything, like, knowing that there's a finish date for this thing we created, it's exciting. And, you know, it gives me a little motivation to come in and try to put some juice back in it, and then start forming how we can build the next thing, kind of like we did when we started GZL. So 15 years is a lot of time in the league, and like you said, it's especially long for GZL, where we're 2 years is a full calendar year. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's going to be a good thing, and it'll be interesting to see who gets the last 2.
Yeah, I definitely think that the amount of engagement that we foster over the next 2 years is going to be next 2 seasons is going to be the most important part to keep people engaged. So because I know the drafts are going to be less exciting, knowing that you're not really going to be able to develop those people. So So desperate under center Jason and Indy writes, how the fuck do you get a QB to perform in the Madden 18 engine? I'm guessing you meant 08, but. Well, I know he wrote 18 in the forum post, but I'm sure he meant 08. If there's a mess, it isn't out yet.
Engine.
Or I guess it is out, but.
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to ask how to get a quarterback to play well, because it just doesn't happen. I was really good with the 07 engine, where, you know, I made guys like Colt McCoy, multi-time Super Bowl champions. But here, I mean, for Jameis Winston, looks like he should be great. You know, 98 throw power, 99 throw accuracy, 6'4 awareness, but he just doesn't play very well. And it seems like a lot of times last year that Kellen Moore played better than him, and he's like 5'6" or something. So I don't know. I guess it probably is a component of, you know, the offensive line and the players you put around him and having those big wide receivers. If you go back and look at some of the Super Bowl winners, I mean, the quarterback wasn't even the best part of the offense. So I don't know. I wish I could help you, Jason. I can tell you that Bridgewater's probably not the answer. So you got 2 years to change that. What do you?
Yeah, it's kind of an enigma. I wish I could pick the brains of some of the people that have had really good success with quarterbacks. It kind of feels like there's a sweet spot on throwing power. You get too high, and I think for whatever reason, like, you get a lot of those bullet passes that just get knocked down over the middle. You would think that you'd get more of the long bombs, but you really don't. In fact, some of the lower throwing power people tend to throw a better deep ball than your high throwing power people. So I think there's definitely a sweet spot in there, probably between 94 and 96, for, you know, if you want someone with a strong arm. But definitely you got to get that awareness up at a similar rate to your throw power or your throw accuracy. And I felt that pretty heavily when developing Bo. You know, he was over 90 accuracy and 97 or whatever he is throwing power, but still in the 70s on awareness and just could not get him to perform. So, yeah, you got to kind of balance it out and hope for the best, I think.
Well, you just talked me into Landry Jones starting this week. All right, next up, Uday. Brady and Cincy writes, the Bengals went 4-0 in the preseason and had a big win in Baltimore Week 1 after two of the toughest Super Bowl losses in GVL history. How will we blow this year?
I'm going to go with the epic losses to the Steelers. You know, pretty decent roster that they have there in Cincinnati. You know, quarterback's not the greatest in the world, but solid offense, decent defense, especially on the back end. So I think it's going to be divisional opponents that blows them out, or that keeps them out this year.
Sounds like a very possible scenario. I like this team. I almost want to say I don't think they're going to blow it. I don't know how much of that is like me just rooting for Brady and the Bengals. I agree the quarterback's a weak spot, especially if Steve gets hurt, then it's really a weak spot. But there's so many guys in free agency, they could probably just pluck someone. I think this team looks a lot like some of the Chargers teams that have been successful in the past. Secondary is fantastic. Defensive line should be really good. And then I think they have like 8 first-round picks on their offensive line. So I'm going to say they don't blow it, but AFC is a tough conference, and if they get to the Super Bowl again, I think they'll win it. But getting there is going to be the tough part.
Yeah. 8 first-round picks on the offensive line sounds kind of like the Browns of the NFL.
Exactly. All right, happy time next. Let's get happy, boys and girls. As we go to the big thing, so happy time. Happy birthday to legend Danny DeVito, the Penguin, turned 73 today. Ian, what do you remember him best as?
I remember him best in Twins. Great movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. Happy anniversary to Warren Sapp. On or around this day in 2011, Sapp Daddy was inducted in the second annual GZL Hall of Fame class. AF, what do you think? What would you give to have a defensive tackle like Sapp on the roster right now?
I keep spending draft picks to find him. I don't get him. So I'd give just about anything. All right, happy trails to my Aunt Maureen. You just celebrated 80 years on this planet last week, and I can't think of a single person I know that lived a more selfless life. You just passed about 5 hours ago, so it's still pretty fresh. But I just want to say thank you for putting everyone over yourself. I love you. I miss you. I'm glad that you're no longer in pain. Until we meet again, thank you for all the memories. I love you so much.
That's our final bell. So that's our show. Thanks for tuning in, Knuckleheads. Make sure you check out the forums for the resurrected GZL content.
Thank you all for listening. Hopefully you're excited for 2023. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Knock off some of this ring rust. I look forward to it. Thanks, Dino. It was a good conversation.
Yeah.
Good night,
Canada.